This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and James Scully.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Briznet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully, for your hour, HRRN Nation, to call in and talk about whatever you'd like in the world of thoroughbred racing. The number to get in, 888-966-4776. That's 888-966-4776. James, we mentioned that last weekend was the busiest thus far for the three-year-olds on the Kentucky Derby Trail. We had 4 points qualifiers stateside, and we saw some fantastic performances coast to coast.
Yes, we did. We saw, I think, top Kentucky Derby contenders, and obviously in the Florida Derby, Fountain of Youth with Forte, the two-year champion juvenile male, returning with a 4.5-length win in really convincing fashion. And then I thought the San Felipe practical move backed up his upset victory in the Los Alamitos Futurity and did so in strong fashion. And both the runner-up Go Rocket Ride and the third-place finisher Skinner were coming off like last-out maiden wins. So those are a really encouraging effort for horses that could offer a lot more in the weeks to come. And I'll mention Rocket Kane as well. I thought he ran big for second, ran faster than he did winning the Holy Bull, running second to Forte in the Fountain of Youth. So I thought those two races were really important, Bobby. As far as the Gotham, that race was on a muddy track and it sort of came back slow. Obviously, Race Kane looked really good winning it. And John Battaglia Memorial at Turfway Park, Congruent had broke his maiden and won the Laurel Futurity on the main track at two, but he was coming off some turf races. So we'll see if he can back that up in his next start.
It's very possible that we saw this year's Kentucky Derby running somewhere last weekend in one of those four big stakes. Let's go out to the phones. Bobby in Lexington, you're on the Briznet.com call-in show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Following with your talk on the future Derby winners, let's talk about the Oaks Derby double future. I was wondering if you all had your eye on it and who you all liked.
Well, first of all, before James answers that, is there somebody that you're looking at, Bobby, in that future wager on both sides?
No, I have not really had a good look at it yet. I really have not. Sorry. That's why I'm calling.
All right. We appreciate your call, Bobby. All right. So, James, Bobby wants to know about both the Oaks and the Derby as far as future wagers concerned.
Yeah, to me, the Pool 5 of the Kentucky Derby Future Wager this weekend is really intriguing because, they nearly doubled the number of betting interests, went from 24 to 40 this year. And I think this is an opportunity to get some perhaps built-in value if you don't like the three favorites. I think that Forte, Practical Move, who won last weekend, as well as Arabian Knight, who's going to run in undefeated, it's got one more start left. I think all three of those are going to take a lot of money, as well as all others. So there's an opportunity perhaps for some value. I look at three horses like from Brad Cox's barn, Bobby, Instant Coffee, Angel of Empire, and Hit Show. They're all either listed at 20-1 or 30-1 on the morning line, and they'd offer some value, especially if they won their last prep race for the Derby, perhaps. I also look at horses that have some tactical foot, positional speed, confidence game, Reincarnate, Go Rocket Ride. I'll be checking all those prices. As far as the Oaks, it's a matter if you want, what do you think about Hoosier Philly? I know a lot of people probably are looking perhaps a fader off of that return effort. A Philly in there that looks good to me that could offer some value is a colt for Chad Brown. She's 2-for-2 coming off a win, a stakes win at Aqueduct, and she's heading for the Gazelle on the Wood Memorial undercard. And she's 20-1 on the morning line, and I think that Into Mischief Philly has the look of a horse that could be really good this spring.
Let's go back out to the phones. Vince in California, you're on the Briznet.com call-in show.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
Hey, Vince, what's going on?
Oh, my boss is looking over my shoulder, and they don't want me on the phone anymore. But I'd do anything for the show, Bobby.
Well, don't get fired on our behalf, or put them on the phone. Let me see if we can get you a special dispensation.
Oh, this guy's a real ass. I'm not going to do anything with him. But listen, so a couple things. I heard our caller beforehand. I was going to start out with some good news. I had Darth Vader, thanks to Mike Walsh from Gulfstream. That was real exciting, man. I had a couple daily doubles going to him, and I'll tell you, man, after I cashed out, I knocked people over getting out of Los Alamitos, because I hate to leave money at the track after I hit something nice like that. So it's always comical, because here we're having a nice lunch at Vessels and then my partner, and all of a sudden I leave, and it's kind of bad for him. But you know, we were already there 4 hours, and you run with a big price like that, and I just wanted to get out of there and do something with the money. You know what I mean?
You know, it's amazing how few people have that sense that you have, Vince, in that not just throwing every dollar back. You know, if you make a little bit of a score, have something to show for the score. And then if things go sour the next time you go to the track or with your next few bets, at least you have something to show for it. Right, my friend?
Yeah, that's true. Another thing I wanted to say, because I wasn't going to go in with this, but Bob, the caller before me, something I'm really, my chops are getting salivating, is I really like wet paint in this future book coming up. Like maybe 100 to win, and then I like some doubles with maybe the horse that's running, that Tappet Triss and the Tampa Bay. Maybe you hook it up with a couple others, you know, some prices. But I was really impressed on wet paint. What do you think, James, about wet paint?
Vince, I think she's definitely looks like she's getting pretty good, you know. I mean, she's a Blaine filly out of a Street Cry mare. The one obvious thing about her is that she's 3-for-4 or she's won 3 of her last 4 starts, and they were all on sloppy tracks. But to me, that doesn't mean she won't handle the fast track just fine. I'm excited to see her, you know, continue moving forward. I remember when Secret Look came along last year, and there were some questions about the filly she was beating or how fast she was running, but she was pretty spectacular, and wet paints looked pretty darn good in my mind winning those last 2 races by open lens.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Vince. Thanks very much. Let's go back out to the phones. Jim in Memphis, you've got Bobby and James on the Brisnet.com call-in show.
Thank you so much. I got a couple of questions for Mr. Scully. First of all, I want to tell you I respect your handicapping prowess. You've enjoyed it over the years. Your insight is right on. I want to see what your opinion is of the Tampa Bay Derby. I'm not too thrilled with the horses that are in it, but what do you think? Any potential Derby contenders?
Yes, I would say so. I mean, definitely Tappet Triss. You got to start with him. He hadn't been 2 turns yet, but he looks like he's going good off an 8th length allowance win. He's going to be a solid favorite, lower than 8-5. You know, if he doesn't win the race, if something happens, he didn't get the right trip. I mean, I look at some horses that are going to be forwardly placed at Tampa Bay Downs track, his favorite speed and 2 turn routes. And I look at, one horse I'm intrigued by, Bobby, and I'll mention, is Classic Legacy. That's a Bill Mott trained colt that broke his maiden on the front end 2 starts back. He didn't break in the Sam F. Davis and ran sort of mid pack, but he adds Irad Ortiz. He draws an inside post. And if that horse broke running for the inside, he's a horse that, you know, he's not going to be a big long shot, but to me, he's a little bit intriguing for Bill Mott in that Tampa Bay Derby.
All right. Appreciate the call there, Jim. We're going to talk a little bit more about that Tampa card, and James's best bet of the weekend is actually on that Tampa Bay Derby card, so we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show. But right now, James, as I mentioned, we had 4 points qualifiers last weekend on the road to this year's Kentucky Derby, and certainly right there at the top of the list was the Grade 2 Fountain of Youth. It was the 3-year-old debut of last year's 2-year-old champion, Forte, And if there were any questions of whether or not he would be ready to fire a big shot off the break, they were answered in a big way. He looks like the deserving favorite right now.
Yeah, he does. I mean, no doubt about it. You know, there's, you know, we'll see how Arabian Night runs in his final prep. But Forte, I thought his win, you know, in the Breeders' Matured, in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he won by about a length, got up a deep stretch to beat Cave Rock. And then he eked out a narrow win in the Breeders' Maturity, and he was much more impressive from a visual standpoint and from like a number, you know, a speed rating performance number standpoint on Saturday in the Fountain of Youth. So that's really encouraging for him, and he'll stretch out to a mile and an eighth for the Florida Derby on April 1st. And if he keeps rolling in that spot, he's got every chance to be. I mean, you would just I would expect him almost to go favored, barring just a spectacular performance by Arabian Night.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a shift there with Forte, because according to Todd Pletcher, the plan all along had been to run in the Fountain of Youth and then very likely go back to Keeneland for the Bluegrass, where he's already won twice, and then go to Churchill, with the Florida Derby kind of being the backup selection as far as an option to the Bluegrass. But after winning the Fountain of Youth, it sounds like something has changed, because now the Florida Derby is their main goal ahead of the Kentucky Derby instead of the Bluegrass. Have you heard anything why the switch in plans?
I saw on Sunday afternoon where he spoke to Mike Welsh of the Racing Forum Sunday morning after the race, and he said he preferred the 5-week gap on April 1st from the Florida Derby to the Derby instead of the 4 weeks. I mean, it was 9 weeks. The Derby was 9 weeks from Saturday. So they either had to go 5 weeks to the Bluegrass and then 4 to the Kentucky Derby. And given he had run so well over both tracks, it was the spacing that made the difference with the Florida Derby.
Very interesting. Out on the West Coast, we saw another big performance from a three-year-old with Derby aspirations, the Tim Yak Teen Trainee Practical Move, backed up a graded stakes win at Los Alamitos with a win in the San Felipe Stakes. And the funny thing was, Tim Yak Teen was getting a whole lot of publicity before this race, but it was mainly, it seemed, for taking over some of the former Bob Baffert trainees on a temporary basis. I don't think he was really getting any sort of pub for the horse that he's had all along, Practical Move, but he's going to have plenty of publicity now going forward.
I agree. And in fact, despite having won that Los Alamitos Futurity by open lengths, he was 10-1 that day in a 5-horse field, and he wound up drifting up to 4.20-1, Bobby. And that was the actual fourth choice in the San Felipe field. The two horses who ran second and third were the favorite in the second choice. And Hajazi, who wound up fourth, set the pace. The thing with the Baffert horses, there were four transferred entered in that race. Only three went to the post. And arguably the most accomplished, most respected Derby contender was National Treasure. He scratched with a minor foot issue, but apparently Yakteen said he can make back, you know, can still make the final prep and be okay and sets for the Derby. I just thought, you know, to me, Practical Move is not grinding out those, like, wins. He's offering an explosive turn of foot into the stretch. And granted, he got a great trip in that San Felipe along the inside, but I thought that was pretty impressive to come back and win that race like he did. And bodes pretty well for him. He's still got to stretch out to a mile and eighth next time, but that was a good-looking one.
Yeah, the positive is that he looked really, really good doing it. I guess if you're a glass half empty kind of a person, you're saying, yeah, well, he was beating horses that were stretching out or maybe just coming off their maiden wins and didn't have quite the bottom that some of the other horses who are running around the country had. But listen, he did what he needed to do, and he continues to improve, and he certainly looks like a major player when he goes in the Santa Anita Derby next. He doesn't need to run in the Santa Anita Derby to qualify for the Kentucky Derby. He's already got plenty of points right now, but plenty of money on the line in the Santa Anita Derby en route to that first Saturday in May. All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we've got two other big Derby preps from this past weekend to look at. Or to recap, we're going to look forward to the big races at Tampa Bay Downs this weekend. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's plenty of thrills at Gulfstream Park during the championship meet with live racing Wednesday through Sunday. Don't miss the Triple Crown prep races, including the Fountain of Youth Stakes on March 4th and the Florida Derby Saturday, April 1st. Enjoy the races outdoors from the Carousel Club, our Feast in 10 Palms, offering a premium view of the races. For stakes schedules, reservations, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Afternoon Delights. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 216 or XM 204, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. In fact, we'll go out to the phones right now. Tom in St. Louis, welcome to the show, my friend.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Good.
Good, good. First of all, before I start on my monologue, I heard the Kurt Becker advertisement for Afternoon Delights. First of all, I really think that's a great segment that he does. I really enjoyed the Perfect Drift one. Hard to believe that horse ran in 5 Breeders' Cups. And, Afternoon Delights, few people realize was actually owned by Burt Bacharach. And, really like seeing celebrities get involved in the sport. I think it's good for the sport. Two, I was going to comment before James said it, but I heard an interview today with Todd Fletcher where he also cited the reason that Fletcher would look for Forte in the Florida Derby was get the extra week of rest and a 5-week prep up until the Derby. But you also have to realize with the amount of runners that he has this year, you got to figure he's going to need the points for some of these horses that's in the Bluegrass. He might even have to have one go to the Lexington. Maybe have to do like Danza and Palace Mouse and send horses to Arkansas and maybe even Louisiana with the number of 3-year-olds that he has. So just something that caught my mind, just thought I'd pass it on. Real reason I called today, though, I hookie from work today, and I saw all these conference tournaments on TV, all these ESPN 5 and 6 and FSN and, Sports Center, wherever, South or whatever. And, the one thing our great sport does is we already have a mechanism. So you're at the racetrack and can watch 8 different screens and see the action from all over the country. And, you know, I just think people need to realize that more about our sport. I just really think they do. And you guys mentioned an Oaks pick, and I know she didn't run last time, but what's that horse that Amos has got? Hoosier Lady, Hoosier Gal, something like that. I mean, is there any reason she ran so poorly in the last race? Did she get injured, or was just an off thing? Because everything else I saw, she looked like she'd be all systems go for me in an Oaks Derby Futures Double. So.
Yeah, she didn't get hurt or injured. I mean, she stumbled after the start and had a rough trip and just, you know, raced evenly. But Amos said the next morning she was fine. She's probably going to run on the Ashland on Keeneland's opening weekend. And, yeah, I mean, she was the second choice among the individual interests behind Wonder Wheel, but I expect her to be the favorite. So not going to get much value on her. And if you believe in her, you're still likely Tom to get a better price on Oaks Day if she wins that Ashland convincingly. So can't blame you for supporting her.
Yeah, I was just that and just, you know, trying to put it together in a double. And I'm sorry, my bad joke of the day, and I apologize if it's offensive to people, but what a surprise. A woman, a very elite lady, not have a good day and just kind of shrug her shoulders and say, oh, what if? from a frustrated bachelor. All right, fellas, my last attempt at humor for the week. You're spared for me for 7 days. On to Charles from Mississippi. Have a good evening.
Appreciate the call, Tom. Thanks very much. Have a good night. James, before we get to talking about the Gotham and the John Battaglia Memorial, a little bit of news that came across the wire today. Extra Heat, who was a really, really good race mare about 20 years ago, just passed away at the age of 24. She ended up running second against the boys in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. That was back before there was a filly and mare sprint back in 2001. I think she had the lead all the way and got caught in the late stages by Jerry Bailey and Squirtle Squirt that day and all. She had won 26 of 35 career starts and banked over $2.3 million in her career. She went into the Hall of Fame 8 years ago in 2015. Extra Heat, one of the fastest fillies I've ever seen, James, passed away at the age of 24.
She was super fast, and that was a heartbreaking defeat for her, like you referenced with Squirtle Squirt. I believe that was like Bobby Frankel's first Breeders' Cup win. He won a bunch after that, or several after that, but that was a she was, like you said, I mean, she was a hard knocking classy filly that could run 6 furlongs in under 108 pretty readily. So like Hall of Famer, not a lot of sprinters get inducted in the Hall of Fame, and she's one of them.
All right, so a little bit of bad news. She did live a long life, but bad news whenever you see these great names from our past unfortunately passing away. All right, on a brighter note, we did see four big three-year-old races last week, and we talked a little bit about both the Fountain of Youth and the San Felipe. Let's talk a little bit about the Gotham and the John Battaglia, because I think they're not going to get quite the publicity that these other ones did, and my guess is speed rating wise they won't come back as fast as what we saw from Forte or from Practical Move. But Raise Kane looked phenomenal in the Gotham. He caught a muddy sealed track that day. The pace was very, very fast, and for the most part, everyone who was up near the pace was nowhere around at the finish. The favorite, Iron Clover, ran a decent fourth in the race, but the closers really ruled the day with Raise Kane, Slip Mahoney, and General Banker coming from the clouds to run 1-2-3. Raise Kane, though, won by almost 8 lengths and paid almost $50 in doing so. Are you there, James? Do we still have you? Oh, we lost James. All right. So Raise Kane, he was 11th at the first call. It wasn't that he was, a mile and a half behind the field, but he was plenty of horses behind, and they went really fast early on, 22-2 to the quarter, 45-2 to the half. They slowed it down a little. The final time for the mile was 1:38 flat for the mile on the muddy sealed track. I know it wasn't the fastest race we've ever seen, and I know the pace scenario set it up for the horses from off the pace, but visually, Raise Kane was really good.
He was really good, Bobby, and he also, you know, he was cutting back to a one-turn mile off of two efforts at two turns, but his pedigree, I mean, he's by violence, but he's out of a lemon drop kid mare, And that's a really classy, like, two-turn female family. So he's eligible. That to me was a big confidence builder, because he had run poorly in his last start on a synthetic track. And while, like you referenced, the track didn't come back fast, it was also a money track, and there was a loose horse that was a factor in the stretch. And also, the thing I really liked about him was how he overcame being checked. He was coming up the inside, he got checked, and then immediately, like, shifted course, altered course. So showed he could overcome some adversity. Going to step up and face better next time. But, you know, he did look good, Race Kane.
Well, another horse that came from way back to get the win was Congruent in the John Battaglia Memorial at Turfway Park. He not only came from last in the field of 12, but he raced very wide and won by some 3.5 lengths. Listen, his final 16th was no joke. He went from 137 flat for the mile to 143 flat for the mile in a 16th. I know he didn't have great past performances going into that race, and I'm not sure what he beat in the Battaglia Memorial, but whatever he beat him like a drum, and he certainly ran the best race of his career thus far.
He certainly did, and, you know, he was far back midway on the far turn and really came flying, like you said. Bromley ran, I thought, a good race. I mean, he had the lead in the stretch. He was you know, he had just coming off a stakes effort at Fairgrounds and just got eaten up by Congruent in the later stages. You know, it's a kind of race where, you know, he's got to back it up, you know, again, to prove that it was legitimate. But, and the runner-up Scooby Quandro wasn't even listed among the 39 individual horses in Pool 5 of the Future Wager this weekend. But Congruent, he offered another, you know, big late run. One thing about it is, if a horse came back, like him, came back and ran, you know, third in the Jeff Ruby Stakes, like Rich Strike did last year, he'd make the Derby field, and he'd be looking to make that last run, last to first run, like Rich Strike did at, like, enormous odds.
Now, I'm not going to say this is going to happen. In fact, I don't think this is going to happen. But what odds would you have gotten a year ago now if somebody wanted to say that, I think Sonny Leone is going to win the next two Kentucky Derbies?
you name your price. I mean, you know, the highest odds they could put on the board. It's still, you know, a lot to be done to get him in there. He got 20 points for winning that race. That probably won't be good enough to win the Derby. I would think Antonio Sano, I haven't seen any comments from him, but I would think he would wheel him back 3 weeks later for the Jeff Ruby Stakes, given how he likes the synthetic track. I did reference earlier, he did win twice on the main track last year, but, you know, that goes without saying, he's got a lot to prove.
Well, the thing that's I don't know if it's a tough decision or not, because if you think that he's just a different horse on the synthetic track, and it certainly looks so far like that may be the case, you say, well, we certainly have a big chance of getting points if he runs in the Jeff Ruby next, and we don't need that many points to get in a gate in the Kentucky Derby. Or do we want to see if we really have a Kentucky Derby-type horse and maybe run him back in the Florida Derby or some main track race, where he may not get any points, or certainly not enough to get to the Kentucky Derby? It seems very obvious to go back to Turfway and run in the Jeff Ruby, but I think there's at least something to think about going the other direction.
Yeah, and if they do that, like you said, it would definitely, I would think, be the Florida Derby, because granted, you're going to have Forte in there and maybe even Racing Kane. But I just think, you know, I mean, look into these major qualifiers get started at the end of this month and go into April. And I think a horse like Forte is going to scare horses away. I mean, if he was in the Bluegrass, he would have scared horses per se away from that race. So might be viable for a horse like Congruent to run third or fourth in that field, because it wouldn't be a very deep race behind the top two betting choices.
All right. Well, we're going to find out in the weeks to come. They certainly have choices to make with Congruent, who, as James mentioned, got 20 Kentucky Derby qualifying points with that win last weekend in the John Battaglia Memorial. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to look forward instead of back, and we're going to look at this big Tampa Bay Derby card coming up this Saturday at Tampa Bay Downs. Phone lines are open. You can call in 888-966-4776 is the number. It's the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Sam Houston Race Park's live thoroughbred meet runs through April 8th and features a new afternoon racing schedule for 2023 with racing Friday through Sunday and a first post at 1 p.m. Central. We're looking forward to March 25th, Texas Champions Day. Make it to Sam Houston Race Park as the best in Texas compete in seven exciting stakes races. The nine race card starts at 1 p.m. at Houston's Best Bet. Canadian racing fans are invited to play Sam Houston at simulcast outlets throughout Canada and on HPI Bet. For more information, visit shrp.com.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fazig Tipton.
Please join me in welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher.
Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito on Trainer Talk. Welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott here on Trainer Talk. Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 216, XM 204, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back. Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully, your hour HRRN Nation. Every Thursday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, phone lines are open. Give us a call, 888-966-4776 is the number. James, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this before we start looking ahead. Biggest race of the weekend actually was not a race for the three-year-olds. It was the Big Cap out at Santa Anita, the Santa Anita Handicap. Still a big deal, maybe not quite as big a deal as it was in the past, but we saw a really good renewal this year and an exciting stretch run with Stiletto Boy, Proxy, and Defunded battling in the final furlong. Stiletto Boy getting the win with Kent DeSormo aboard. Little bit of a surprise, my friend.
He was, I mean, having won only one of his, I think, previous 13 starts, definitely a double-digit upset. But his form had been trending in the right direction, I thought. He ran second to Country Grammar in the San Antonio and then ran third in the Pegasus World Cup behind Art Collector and Defunded. So he did have something going for him in a sense off those two races and really finished gamely to basically outfinish Proxy, who was also finishing. The real story was Defunded had a clear lead in upper stretch and just, you know, basically gave it up a little bit. It looks like a little bit of a scenario with him where it sort of reminded me of Life is Good in the Dubai World Cup last year, where, you know, 10 furlongs might be just a little bit too far for him. But he remains a real top-class horse, I think, for Bob Baffert. And I thought Hopper had a trouble trip in fourth. He's still lightly raced for Baffert. So I agree with you. I thought it was a strong rendition of it. I do want to mention real quick, I forgot earlier, I want to thank Jim for his comments. And I want to actually also say congrats to Vince for picking Dorth Vader. She was a filly, Bobby, where you had to draw a line through her last race. She ran a complete clunker and a stake, but in her two starts before that had won back-to-back stakes. And at 46-1, Vince, you know, snuffed that out. So congrats to him.
Yeah, nice picks there. And certainly makes you feel good when you can walk away with the track with a lot more money than when you walked in through the turnstiles. Okay, the biggest race coming up this weekend is the only Kentucky Derby prep in the United States this weekend. It is the Grade 3 Tampa Bay Derby. And if I would have told you, James, after the running of the Sam Davis back on February 11th, that trainer Todd Pletcher was going to win the Tampa Bay Derby this year, you just said, well, look what Litigate just did. He just, you know, beat the field fairly handily in the Sam Davis, which is the big local prep for the Tampa Bay Derby. Makes sense that he would show up and he would be the one to beat. Well, he's not back for the Tampa Bay Derby, but Todd Pletcher does have the favorite. In fact, he may have the first two choices in the race in Tappet Trice and Shesterkin. Is it just me, James, or does Tappet Trice's last race just tower over everyone in this field?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, granted, it came in a one-turn mile, but, you know, you look at him, he's by Tappet, and he looks like he'll handle a mile of 16th to me. And that was just a monstrous performance, really sort of gutted out his maiden win two starts back. The horse he beats came right back and won his maiden and ran second in the Gotham. So he beat a decent horse that day and took a huge step forward at Gulfstream on that undercard, like you referenced. Todd Pletcher, yeah, he's the two. I thought his other horse is adding Bleakers and was like rated a little bit, Shesterkin. And I think he's going to try to show speed from the outside. So, you know, that's a track that Tampa has favored speed a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of trip Saez works out with Tappet Trice. But there's no reason why he can't be sitting like fourth or fifth and just sitting in a catbird's seat in a sense. Because there could be a few horses out there trying to contest in the pace, I think, Bobby.
So if I were to tell you that Tappet Trice will not win the Tampa Bay Derby, who were the horses that you would focus in on?
Well, I'm going to mention a couple horses. I mean, one thing about Litigate, you know, it looks like Pletcher's pointing him for the Louisiana Derby. And, you know, Pletcher has had a stranglehold on this Tampa Bay Derby. He's looking for his six. He's already won a record five of them. But I look at, like, some inside horses I think are going to, you know, show positional speed, are going to be up close towards the front, because I think that's the best place to be. I'm going to start off with number four, Groveland, who, you know, has just made nice progress for Ian Hardy, a Street Sense Cole. He ran second in a deep allowance race two starts back, and then he ran second in a Sam F. Davis. I don't see why he can't, like, you know, have a similar trip and have a chance perhaps to keep improving a little bit. And the other one that's a little intriguing to me is in post three, and that's Classic Legacy, because Bobby, he recorded a front running win two starts back. And I just thought he sort of got away slowly in that Sam F. Davis and, you know, came running the okay to be fourth. But I look for a more aggressive up close trip with Ired Ortiz taking over the mount for Belmont on Classic Legacy.
Once again, a points qualifier on the road to this year's Kentucky Derby, 50 points to the winner of the Tampa Bay Derby this year. It's one of five stakes on the Tampa Bay Downs card on Saturday. That goes as race 11. In fact, races 8, 9, 10, I'm sorry, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 are all stakes. And I know a race that you're really interested in, a race that that has your best bet of the weekend, is the Grade 3 Florida Oaks for the three-year-old fillies, going a mile and a 16th on the turf. 14 were entered, 12 will run, goes as race 10 on the card. How did you see the Florida Oaks?
Well, I'll just say when I first saw the field, I was surprised to see Dreaming of Snow. I just thought she would stay on the dirt off that upset win in the Suncoast over Wonder Wheel and Julia Shining. But she is scheduled to make her turf debut, and she's listed at 8-1. The favorite in this race is number 10, Free Look. And she's returning off a layoff, having run fifth in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. And Bobby, this has like been a bug. This has been like a something that's old, that I've like followed for years. I like playing against horses that are like 1-for-4 or 1-for-5 or so off of long layoffs at short odds. I like that strategy. I like seeing Free Look draw outside where she's going to have to work a trip. I'm telling number 2, All American Beauty. I thought that this is a filly, a $700,000 well-bred filly by End of Mischief. She got bet down to favoritism in her debut at Aqueduct, ran fourth. I thought that last time out that she didn't really start to, you know, like she had her head sideways on the turn, was a little bit ranked. But when she freaking put it together, I like the way she finished up in the stretch. And I look forward to keep moving forward off that race. 8-1 with Edgar Zayas, number 2, All-American Beauty. I'm taking a shot at an upset in the Florida Oaks.
Okay, certainly respect your opinion. And I don't want to give away too much, as I'm going to be talking about this race with Dave Freeman as part of our weekend stakes preview tomorrow night from 6 to 7 p.m. I can say this. I'm intrigued with the filly outside of her, number 3, Alpha Bella. I thought she looked pretty good in the Sweetest Chant last time out. Tell me what I'm missing is why Alpha Bella can't win this race, or do you think she can win the race?
Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely both. I thought Alpha Bella and Navy Goat, you know, who ran second and third. And even there's another one in here. Those horses were running against Cairo Consort in those turf stakes at Gulfstream, and that was a really solid effort. I think Alpha Bella, as opposed to some of those, hasn't been exposed yet. She can improve upon that effort. But I played against Cairo Consort last weekend. I was looking for fillies that weren't in those races. I was just a little bit dubious of her. And I'm sort of still taking a little bit of a negative view towards those races until proven wrong.
Okay. There's, as I mentioned, 5 stakes on the card at Tampa Bay Downs. We've got a couple of nice graded stakes on the card at Santa Anita. We've got the Grade 2 Azari at Oaklawn Park. Grade 3 Hurricane Birdie at Gulfstream. So graded stakes all over. Any of the other big races around the country really intrigue you from a betting standpoint?
Well, I mean, I've got to do some more work, obviously, at Oaklawn Park, but I mean, definitely the Azari. I don't know from a betting standpoint, but just from a watching standpoint, always really excited to see, top class horse like Clairiere and Secret Oath both come back in that race. And, you know, you got a couple of other nice fillies in that Azari. So that looks like it's shaping up to be a really good prep for the Apple Blossom next month. And that's a race I'll keep my eye on. And, you know, I'm always, you know, taking a good look at Oaklawn Park on Saturday. They have such a good racing program.
Yeah, it's nice that they have a race named in honor of Azari. I believe she won the Apple Blossom 3 times herself. So that itself, aside from
the lengthy layoff where she was off for like over a year and went to went from Laura de Soro to Dwayne Lucas.
Yeah, she was really, really good, and of course strutted her stuff on the national stage in the Breeders' Cup Distaff as well. But nice race named in honor of the great race mare Azari, who loved it there at Oaklawn Park, the Grade 2 Azari Race 9 on Saturday's card in Hot Springs, Arkansas. All right, we're going to take our final break. This is the BrisNet.com call-in show on HRRN. The phone lines are open. Give us a call. 888-966-4776 is the number.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now. 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrisNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. BrisNet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at BrisNet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus size Fire Stats for only $275 per year and is available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
Race to Twin Spires, where you can unlock a $25 risk-free bet. Just use the code HRRN25 when you sign up. And if your first bet doesn't win, Twin Spires will refund your account up to $25. Wagering on the app is fast with free pass performances, insider picks, and power plays every day you wager. Twin Spires. Download the app today to earn your $25 risk-free bet. Void where prohibited. For terms and conditions, visit TwinSpires.com. Must be 18 or older, 21 and older where applicable. For help with a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Brisnet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, James Scully. Let's go back out to the phones. Craig and Athens, you got Bobby and James.
Yes. I was wondering who James Scully liked in the Tampa Bay Oaks, trying to look for some value there.
Well, I think he means the Florida Oaks. Thanks, Craig. And I just talked about that. I'm going with Shugman Gaethje's filly, the two-horse All-American Glory, coming in off a maiden win. Really good performance on the grass, taking a little shot at an upset in that Florida Oaks before the Tampa Bay Derby.
Awesome. All right.
Anything else? Who's your pick in the Tampa Bay Derby?
I'm not really sure yet. I haven't decided, but I was just wanting to get your thoughts on that, and I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. Thanks very much, Craig. You know, there's something else we haven't really talked about yet, James, is that the fifth of the Kentucky Derby future wagers begins tomorrow. I believe it goes from noon Eastern tomorrow until 6:30 Eastern on Sunday. And this will be the first time that some of the former Baffert runners will not be lumped into the all other three-year-olds category. They will be singular betting opportunities themselves. So a horse like Arabian Knight, if that's who you've liked all along, you are now going to get to wager on him directly, as opposed to taking a really short price, maybe even under even money, as part of that all other three-year-olds campaign. Forte, the deserving favorite, though, you've seen what the current odds are for these horses as far as what prognosticators have made these horses. Is there anyone that stands out to you as a possible interesting price play?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. I think Instant Coffee, I saw him run last fall, and I think he's filling into his frame, and I think he's got class. And I liked his LeComp win. He raced a lot closer to a hot pace that day than he did it too. So he's listed at 20-1. He's the one that immediately stands out. If he gets bet down, he's 10-1 or so, then yeah, you know, he's an underlay. But I'm looking at those morning line odds and sort of gauging it from there. And that's one I'll definitely be paying attention to, because if he wins his final prep, like I think he can, you know, he could be way lower, way shorter on Derby Day. And that's the kind of horses I'm looking at. Some horses that I think got a legitimate chance to win their final prep that are going to be double digit odds that you could lock in some value, perhaps. I would say, as far as the betting itself goes, you know, Forte's 4-1, and he's going to be a short price, but I do think Arabian Knight's going to be bet down as well. So a horse like Practical Move, you know, he might actually drift up a little bit, and there's going to be a value around, because that there's this all others that you have to deal with. I mean, all people that like to play these all others, three-year-olds in these pools, didn't like the Derby future wager going from 24 to 40 interest, because you look at it, Bobby, I mean, what are the chances that what the Derby winner isn't among the 39 individual interests? I would say they're, you know, in my mind, they're like 95, it's 95% or better. And that would make like all the money on all others that's listed at 5-1 on the morning line this weekend dead money in my mind, and create up, you know, create a little value for the individuals.
Yeah, it's got to be a big long shot to not be one of those individual entities this late in the game. Now, that being said, was Rich Strike at any point an individual entity in a future wager last year?
No, he was not. It was all others. Absolutely, he was not. And, you know, Congruent won that race, but the runner-up and third-place finisher both got points in that Jeff Battaglia or John Battaglia. And those horses, to me, would be equivalent of Rich Strike if they somehow snuck in the field and recorded a huge upset.
So the question, I guess, would have been, you know, if Rich Strike were one of the 40 horses at this time last year offered in wagering, I mean, I would think he'd be higher than 80-1, even higher than he was on Derby Day.
Absolutely, he'd be over 99-1. There were horse, you know, I mean, even like Shesterkin. I mean, he broke his maiden first time out. He was like 100-1 in one of these early pools before he lost to Tapit Trice. So I look at Rich Strike. I don't think he'd be among the 39 entrants, and you'd be lumping into him all others, and that's what it's going to take for all others, you know, to come through this year, I think, at this late stage.
All right. As I mentioned, there are several other races on that Tampa Bay card on Saturday, and some intriguing races to look at, including the Challenger and the Hillsboro, a couple of graded stakes that go as races 8 and 9 in the card. Have you looked at all of those races? Because I know you love the Florida Oaks, and it sounds like you know, you've got it down to, you know, one or two maybe runners that you're looking at in the Tampa Bay Derby, trying to think if we can somehow put pick fours and pick fives together.
You know, I take a little bit of a look at the Challenger, and I mean, one of my thoughts were, you know, I think Skippy Longstocking's a little bit vulnerable at short odds. I think he's going to be overbet in that spot. I haven't done enough research on it, but that was like a little bit of a favorite that I was a little bit dubious of. Obviously, all these Chad Brown, really well represented in the Hillsboro. He loves to send horses over to these turf stakes, and it'll be exciting to see both Shantazara and Rozier come back on Saturday.
Yeah, I can't figure out what's going on with Shantazara. She was terrible in that in that race, the finale on Breeders' Cup Saturday at Keeneland, where she was even money and basically never ran a step. Then she ran a pretty good race behind Queen Goddess and the Pegasus Filly and Mare Turf last time out. Well clear of everyone else. I know she has races in her past performances that would crush this field. I just don't know if she has that race this Saturday, and maybe she doesn't need that race to win this race. Maybe a repeat of that last start in the Pegasus is good enough, but she looks like she's going to be tough. She is 2-1 on the board, or 2-1 on the morning line for Chad Brown and Irad Ortiz. You know, earlier in the show, we got a call about the Oaks Derby
future wager. And we've heard stuff about Hoosier Philly, and you were mentioning a cult, and there are some other Phillies. I thought what was really interesting this last weekend is that Faiza was not transferred from Bob Baffert to an eligible trainer for the possibility of earning points toward the Kentucky Oaks. Faiza, who's owned by Michael Lund Peterson, stayed in Bob Baffert's barn. She remained undefeated by winning the Santa Isabel, and by doing so did not – she basically gave up on the chance of getting those Oaks points.
Yeah, she looked Michael really Lund good. Peterson, I thought that was her best race to date. And I
right,
think
and gonna, I apologize, oh, but he also owns Faustin, who I know is a colt that you really like for Bob Baffert that was not transferred away. He's the owner of Gamine, who, of course, was disqualified when she ran in the Kentucky Oaks a few years ago. And I've seen stories about, you know, Faiza winning or not getting points, but none of the stories – says anything about why, because it just makes so much sense to ask the question, why was she not transferred? Obviously, she is one of the better three-year-old fillies in the country this year. Whether or not you think she's the best or she has a chance in the Kentucky Oaks, she's certainly one of the ones at this point. And she would be one of the favorites, I believe, in the Kentucky Oaks if she wins the Santa Anita Oaks in her next start. But the fact that they didn't transfer away from Baffert, you know, is that a loyalty that Mr. Peterson has to Baffert? Does he have some sort of a grudge against Churchill Downs? I can't imagine it's just the fact that he doesn't think that she's good enough to win the Kentucky Oaks. I don't think that's why they wouldn't transfer it. But none of the stories asked that question or wrote about it, even to the point of saying there was no comment when asked about this. And that bothers me a little bit.
You know, Faustin, I'll say this. He worked on February 18th and hadn't worked again. And they had that decision to make on, you know, before the 28th. And I'm a little bit thinking a little bit suspicious because I drafted him in a fantasy pool. I'm a little bit suspicious that something happened to him coming out of that work and he might be sidelined. So to me, the Derby and Oaks are different equations. Royal Delta, Belmont skipped the Oaks with Royal Delta like, you know, 6-7 years ago. I think if Faiza was a filly and she was healthy, she might be switching. But yeah, it looks like she's aiming for the Black Eyed Susan. And Baffert will have some other horses for the undercard of those races at Pimlico because he always comes like on Derby Day and Oaks Day on those undercard races with horses. So he'll just be shifting those to Pimlico this year.
Yeah, very, very interesting. By the way, I assume that non-3-year-olds that Bob Baffert has, that if he wants to run non-3-year-olds on Kentucky Derby or Kentucky Oaks Day, they didn't have to be transferred to anyone by a certain time. They could literally be transferred right before entry date. Am I right on that?
I don't know about that. That's a good question, but I'm not aware of that. I mean, you might at least, entry date perhaps. So that's an interesting question. I hadn't actually heard that be mentioned so far. Hey, I do want to mention real quick, Bobby, Brisnet.com. We're going to have available on Facebook, Twitter, other social places, PP links, Tampa Bay Derby, Kentucky Derby future wager. We're either going to have links for the NHC handicapping tournament mandatory races. Also going to have tons of handicapping reports and PPs. And I want to mention I'll be doing the Twin Spires triple play on the Equine Forum Saturday morning with Mike Penna. So check that out.
All right. So a lot of great stuff going on with Brisnet. Lots of great stuff over with our friends at Twin Spires. And if you didn't get enough of James's selections tonight on the Brisnet.com call-in show, he is going to be back with three big plays, that Twin Spires triple play, where James and all of his colleagues do such a great job as part of the Equine Forum every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 Eastern time here on HRRN. Well, James, it seems like we're about halfway home on this road to the Kentucky Derby. Take a little bit of a breather. Four big ones last week, one big one coming up this week. Looking forward to it, my friend. For our producer, Lee Delapina, our co-host, James Scully, I'm Bobby Newman. Thanks to all our callers. Have a great night, everybody.